On the show today, we'll be having a conversation with John Setterlund and Elizabeth Buckley, both of whom are involved in a new cantata for Christmas. At least aspects of it are new. Pastor Setterlund has created these musical settings. We'll hear more about it. The performance is going to be given Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana. And the first part of the show, a conversation with a member of the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet giving their holiday jazz program this Saturday in Decatur. Group called Jazz Wagon, a tune called Lead Me by Daryl Campbell here on Illinois Public Media's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Randy Raymond, who is the trumpet professor at Millikan University in Decatur, and he is also the trumpet player in the Millikan University Jazz Sextet, which is going to be giving a holiday jazz program this Saturday evening, 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus. And Randy, thank you very much for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Sorry, you guys weren't able to come over this year. We had a grand time in our studio last year, even though we were, I think, absent two members at the time.
Yeah, that was fun. I hoped we could come over, but we just couldn't get everybody together this time.
Well, I think we're probably going to actually broadcast some of that later on in this season.
Good.
So, well, because that was such a, it was fun, so I thought we'd share that. But we've got some, we'll be able to hear some of the music that you're going to be doing on the concert. In fact, we did one just leading into this, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Now, this is something you guys recorded, obviously in advance. Are you making a recording?
We've talked about doing a recording of this show, a lot of this music we've done on this show, but the music you heard was something I had done earlier with some of the same guys on a Christmas recording, and we're using some of these same arrangements with Angel when she comes in on Saturday. So, but we are specifically thinking of doing something right now on the show, although, you know, we've talked a lot about it. We just haven't done it. but people have asked us about it. I don't know, it might be in the making. We don't know yet.
Well, it was so much fun to hear what you did last year that I would think that it would make for a grand recording, particularly if you didn't have it too much processing, like a lot of it's so often done to make it sound very professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, not that you guys don't sound professional, but sometimes I've noticed in recording, sometimes it sucks the fun out of the live experience.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I hope people come out for the show, because live performance seeing a live performance is where it's at. You know, that's real music. You see people in the moment performing, and you see the visual aspect of it, and live performance is so important that we, you know, in this day of so much media, that we forget about that, and we're so used to hearing, you know, digital recordings, or we're on the web, or whatever, and I hope people come out and support live music, because it's pretty important, I think.
Well, that's, of course, the point of this show, Live and Local, and there's so much stuff that's going on, and is your school still in session this week that you're, or are you finishing up, and so that's how you're able to actually do a concert?
Well, we're right in the middle of finals week. Finals week is Monday through Friday this week, and so we're squeezing in this concert at the end. It's our last event.
Do you guys do many concerts as a sextet?
Actually, you know, we all play with different groups around the area, but we don't often get together. We do come together a couple times a year. We play at a local club here that has jazz every Saturday afternoon, and that's a lot of fun. We just get together and play tunes. But this is the only really official, well, those are officials. Well, this one is just a little more important. It's a little more of a formal concert, and we take it a little more seriously. So, no, we don't generally play a lot together, but we enjoy it when we do.
Well, that's pretty obvious. What's the jazz club, by the way?
And it's a place called Lock, Stock, and Barrel, and a lot of our Millikan groups play there, and a lot of other groups from the area play there as well. So on Saturday afternoons, 4 to 6 is when they have it. And it's a nice venue. It's about the only jazz club in town, and they're very supportive of jazz, which is really nice, and we appreciate that.
What are some of the other groups that you guys play in?
Well, Perry Rask plays, he's a sax professor here, and he plays in a lot of different groups. He plays in a group called Diversity that works around town, and he and I both play in the Decatur Big Band. I often will work my own trio. Brian Justison, the drummer, is from Springfield, and he does some playing over there with various groups. I'm not even sure which ones now. We have a new bassist by the name of Joel Kelsey, who does playing around Indianapolis and all over the place. I think he's originally from there, but he's living in Champaign right now. But yeah, we just play with various groups, not just jazz, but classical groups as well.
And then what about Steve Wiedenhofer, your pianist? He's also the director of the school, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's the director of the school of music. He doesn't play out there much because I don't think he just has that much time, but he's a great, great pianist, and we love playing with him when we get the chance. He used to play a lot, and I used to work with him quite a bit, and he's still playing well, so it's a lot of fun to work with him.
Tell me about the Decatur Big Band. You mentioned you play in that.
Yeah, it's a group that plays about once a month at Lock, Stock, and Barrel. It's just made up of area professionals and teachers and whoever, you know, we get to play. It's a regular big band, and we don't rehearse, we just go and we read charts, read arrangements for a couple hours, and there are a lot of good musicians in that group. You know, there are several area players that are pretty good, and it's a really, it's a talented group.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that appeals to me about jazz and a lot of old-time music and things like that, where you can actually say, we don't rehearse, and it doesn't make you sound bad.
Yeah.
If you were a classical group and you said, well, we don't rehearse, that's probably a group you wouldn't want to hear.
Yeah.
But yet somehow with a group like this, it almost makes it can make it better.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's true. You know, that spontaneity about it, sometimes it makes it so compelling. And when you get a jazz group together and you start rehearsing something, you lose that. And it's often, you know, oftentimes you hear jazz recordings of some of the great players, and a lot of things you hear are often the first takes in the studio, because I think, you know, the first read-through is when people do some of their most creative stuff, and after that they start rehearsing and thinking about it a little too much. So, yeah, I think there's that spontaneity that makes it possible in jazz to, and preferable, I think, in jazz to not rehearse. Although, I have to say, for our show Saturday night, we want to do a little rehearsal because we've got some arrangements we've been working on that are a little more complicated. So we're going to do a little bit of rehearsal for that, I have to say.
Well, and you've got another cut here from one of the tunes you're going to do. You can pick one of these. We have one for called I Heard the Bells, and then the Wassail Song.
Yeah, we're going to do both of those, I think. I Heard the Bells, that's an old Christmas tune that I think people would recognize. Actually, it's from the Civil War era, long before jazz was ever thought of. But it works well. It's sort of we're doing it as sort of a bossa nova.
Is that the tune that goes, I heard the bells on Christmas Day?
Yes.
I learned that from what used to be my dad's favorite Christmas record, which was with Harry Belafonte.
Ah.
And I still love that one. And that's on there, and some calypso kinds of things, and lots of other, you know, really ballad-like songs.
Yeah, there's so many great Christmas tunes, and so many of them really work well as jazz adaptations, you know? And it's really fun to try and adapt them into a jazz setting, because we've been doing that here in these arrangements for this show, and it's fun to see how they turn out. And they work great, you know, and I think when people hear them, they agree.
Well, let's see if the folks listening will agree. It's I Heard the Bells. Do you know whose arrangement this is?
This is my arrangement.
Oh, your own, great.
Yeah.
Randy Raymond is our guest here on Live and Local. He's the trumpet player with the Millikan University Jazz Sextet, who are going to be giving their holiday jazz program this Saturday at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. That is at 7:30.
Thank you.
We just heard an arrangement by Randy Raymond of the Christmas tune I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Randy is trumpet player with the Millikan Jazz Sextet, Millikan Faculty Jazz Sextet, who you heard in that performance. And you can hear them live in that tune and many others Saturday evening at 7:30. And we just made a telephone switch. We're hoping this will sound a little better for you. Sorry about the phone quality a little earlier. And Randy, you're going to have the same guest vocalist you had last year, this woman named Angel Specia. Is she a former student there?
Yes, she's an alum of Millikan. Several years ago, I can't remember exactly the year. It's been a while. But when she was here, she was singing with the jazz group. She was the singer with my big band when she was here. Great singer. We always loved having her. And she's up in Chicago, singing around town, making a name for herself. She's a wonderful vocalist, and the people last year just loved her. She has a real presence about her. But yeah, we're really happy to have her back. We knew after that show that we wanted to have her back again, so it's going to be fun to have her there.
I'm looking at her bio here from your website, and it's too bad I don't have her to ask this question, but I'll ask you what you hear of this anyway. She says her early influences, this is an interesting combination of people, include Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, and Sergio Mendez. Sergio Mendez was a trumpet player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then Nat King Cole, not usually who you hear influencing a woman, although, you know, he's such a wonderful singer, and Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Do you hear anything in her singing that reminds you of any of those folks?
Well, I don't know about Sergio, but sure. I mean, Nat King Cole has certainly influenced not only pianists but vocalists in so many ways. I can hear that. I think she mentioned some other people there, didn't she?
Well, she says there's a note here says she shares qualities with Doris Day, Nancy Wilson, Diana Krall, and Eva Cassidy. That's quite a bunch
range
of fine singers.
Yeah, that's quite a range of singers. So she's listened to a lot of people and taken from them what she wanted. She has an interesting timbre to her voice. I'm talking about Angel, and it's kind of it's got some depth to it that is really interesting. I think I just love the way she sounds. It's a real kind of I don't want to say experienced. It sounds like she's really old. It sounds like she's listened to a lot, and her style is very mature, and I think it's just a really nice jazz sound. She's the quintessential jazz singer, I think, in terms of her timbre of her voice.
Is she an improvisational singer, so will she do some of that in the arrangements?
Oh, she may. That's not her main thing, but she does that a bit. I don't know if you'll hear much on the show. She's more of an interpretive kind of singer, as most of them are. And so she's doing a lot of different kinds of tunes, you know, some ballady things, some more upswinging things. She does them all very well.
You're a composer and obviously an arranger, since we're hearing your arrangements on here. What do you have in mind when you take familiar tunes like these Christmas tunes and turn them into something for a jazz ensemble? What do you try to preserve? What sort of freedom do you allow yourself, and then what sort of freedom do you allow the other players in the arrangement?
Well, I think, you know, you have to retain the melody, because it's the recognizable part of it that, you know, that you have to have there, although you can make some rhythmic changes. But I think it's fun changing the harmonic format, because often these Christmas tunes have a very simple harmonic progression. And, of course, jazz is known as a music that has some complexity to its harmonic makeup. So when I take a jazz tune or a Christmas tune and make it into a jazz tune, it's fun to add some of that color, that harmonic color, maybe quicken the harmonic progression, maybe alter some chords, and that's kind of the fun part, to see how that works against the original melody. And of course, you know, then there's always the dimension of a jazz piece where we have the opportunity to solo over those chord changes. And you have to have chord changes that are kind of fun to play over. They can't be too strange or too straight or too square. You have to write them in a way that the players enjoy playing them. So that's the challenge of, I think, some of the Christmas tunes, is that you have to adapt them to a jazz style, but you don't want to go too far with that. You've got to retain some of the integrity of the original tune, and it's sort of a balance you have to achieve. And it's a challenge, but it's fun. I think, you know, several of us, Dave Burdick, the guitarist, is doing a lot of arranging for this show. He's a great arranger, and he does the same thing. You know, he comes with some really original ideas sometimes, and he'll stay with more traditional at other times. So Dave's going to have some really nice arrangements, as he always does, and I'm going to contribute a few. And I think it's going to be all kind of fresh and new in a lot of ways.
Do you have, are there standard arrangements for this kind of ensemble that you would have other folks work as well, or do you pretty much have to do your own for this ensemble?
We've pretty much done our own. Now, we have this year looked at some specific tunes, like the tune Please Come Home for Christmas. Dave asked me to write up an arrangement, but he wanted it kind of like the Eagles did, sort of a pop arrangement, and which we might do it that way. I mean, we might do some things that are more pop-oriented, but there's still going to be that jazz dimension to everything. But for the most part, we do our own arrangements, and as with most of the jazz tradition, you have an arrangement, but it becomes your own anyway when you start playing it, because there's so much freedom in what you do jazz-wise, you know. So there are own arrangements, but they're going to be, some of them maybe similar to some things some people have heard.
Well, you know, one of the things about jazz groups, going back to the idea of not always rehearsing, or certainly not over-rehearsing, is, you know, we're talking on Tuesday, the concert's on Saturday, and you're still saying, well, we might do some of these, we might do something else, we might do this and that. Like,
yeah,
you're not really sure what you're going to do yet.
We're not sure. We've been working on these arrangements that we think we're going to do, and we're actually... I kind of hate to admit this in public, but we're going to meet tomorrow afternoon, go through all this stuff, and zero in on what we're going to do. We're going to meet with Angel on Friday for some time and see what she's comfortable with and decide for sure. And then Saturday we're going to have a little bit of a sound check and a run through. So, it seems like we're just kind of doing this on the fly, but, I mean, this is probably more rehearsal than most jazz groups. So by tomorrow, we're gonna pretty much know what we're doing. But we've been spending some time doing the arranging, so it's not like we're just starting to think about it.
Well, and the other thing about jazz charts is you'll have an arrangement and you'll have the tune that everybody plays, but then there'll be parts that say, okay, play these chords,
right,
rhythm section, and somebody do the solo, and that's not written out, so you're going to do it what you're going to do anyway.
Right, exactly.
On the moment. Yeah. Well, Randy, it sounds like it should be a fun show, as it was last year. This is you're calling your second annual holiday jazz concert, I think.
Right, yeah. Last year, I was skeptical, you know, when they wanted us to do this. I said, gee, is anybody going to show up for this?
And did they?
When I got there for the show, I looked out of the curtain into the house, and there were a lot of people there, and I was really surprised. It was nice. We had a great crowd, and I can't tell you how many people now in the last couple of weeks have been talking to me about this, saying how they're looking forward to the concert, and I think we're going to have a really nice crowd this year. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Everybody enjoyed it last year, not just the music, but the interaction of the musicians on stage. It was just there was a lot of humor. It was just kind of a light environment. Everything was, people just loved it. So I think it's going to be a good crowd. I think it's going to be a great show. I hope people will come and support it. I think they'll really enjoy themselves.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. Randy Raymond, trumpet player with the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet, also teaches trumpet, of course, at Milliken and his director of jazz activities there, coordinator of brass. And the concert is Saturday night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Milliken campus in Decatur. And we'll go out with one more arrangement here that you might hear on Saturday. Is this one of your own, of the Wassail Song?
Yes, it is.
All right, it's the Wassail Song with the Faculty Jazz Sextet. Thanks, Randy, very much.
Thank you.
It's live and local on FM 90.9. In the Milliken University Faculty Jazz Sextet in their own arrangement of the Wassail Song, and they're going to be playing their holiday jazz concert Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from these business partners: Jarman Center of Tuscola, Family Video Movie Club of Springfield, and Fertilizer Dealer Supply of Philo. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much. On this part of the show, we've got two guests involved in what is kind of a new piece We'll explain the kind of in just a moment. A cantata for Christmas called From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. It's going to be performed Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana, co-sponsored by the East Central Illinois chapter of the American Guild of Organists. And my guests are Elizabeth Buckley, who is director of music at St. Matthew's, and also John Sederland, who is the guy who put this cantata together. And I thank both of you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Kevin.
So I guess I should put the first question to John. What was the genesis for this cantata?
I had been frustrated over the years that one of my favorite Christmas songs, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, which Martin Luther wrote years ago, had never been set to, Bach had never written a cantata based on this Christmas hymn. Although he admired the chorales of Bach very much, they were his favorite, it seems. So I thought, there are several settings that Bach did write, three of them from the Christmas Oratorio, one from his Christmas setting of the Magnificat, and I think 9 different organ pieces based on this. So I gathered them together, and I scrambled them and rearranged them, these several pieces, for 4-part voices and a small orchestra, and arranged them and set the various 15 stanzas of this hymn to these settings.
So it's one hymn with text and tune by Martin Luther.
Yes.
And so...
And all the musical settings are music of Bach.
All right, so you haven't redone Bach.
I've just rearranged it for different instruments and so forth. For instance, several pieces, as I mentioned, were written for the organ, and these are now going to be performed by voices and orchestra.
And on the concert also, there are going to be a number of organ performances of other people's settings of this same tune.
Correct.
It must be a pretty good tune to manage a whole evening of it.
We hope that people will go out from that evening, that afternoon concert, humming this tune. That would be nice.
Well, this particular chorale tune in its day was even more popular than, say, Silent Night. So people grew up hearing this. And what's wonderful about all the verses is that it tells the entire Christmas story and has very much a childlike perspective. And so I think what's going to be so much fun about this, all 15 verses of them being sung, and we're singing them in English. So when the audience is listening, they'll be able to read in the program the English words. And then it's also helping our choir, which is all full of volunteer members. And so each verse has its own character. Some are arranged for full chorus. Some are arranged for just a section of the chorus. And then a few of them are arranged for just solo voices within the 4-part or 2-part arrangement.
We should probably give listeners an idea of the tune since we're talking about it. John, you gave me 3 CDs here. And I've got the one queued up that says opening chorus. What is it we're going to hear?
This is a setting of the first verse of this hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, which Bach wrote as an addition to his Christmas setting of the Magnificat. And we are basically singing it as he wrote it. This one has been the least rearranged of any of them that we're singing. So we're singing it in the as close as we can come to the way Bach intended it to be sung, with SATB chorus and doubling with the strings and the orchestra. The oboe. We've added an oboe to our string section.
So this is one of those pieces that is sometimes what they call one of the interpolated chorales that shows up in
yes,
the middle
is.
Of the Magnificat. Mm-hmm. And this is a performance by, do you know?
By Helmut Rilling and his choir and orchestra from Stuttgart.
Okay. And we're talking with John Sederland and Elizabeth Buckley about this new-ish cantata for Christmas that you can hear Sunday afternoon in Urbana here on Live and Local. music set by Bach, the tune by Martin Luther, and a text by Martin Luther also, and a performance by Helmut Rilling's ensemble from Stuttgart. And you can hear that chorale, the opening chorus, in the Cantata for Christmas, musical settings compiled by John Sutherland, who is one of my guests on this portion of Live and Local. It's called From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana. And we also have with us Elizabeth Buckley, who is director of music there. Liz, who is the choir? It's sort of a grouping of different people, right?
The choir is our wonderful, brave choir members from our church. As I've talked about before with friends and also with my choir, this is not easy music because it is, of course, based upon Bach's settings, and so a lot of counterpoint, and it's always a challenge to keep the singers right in tempo with each other because we have a lot of running lines in this. But we also have some great singers from different choirs here in town. I used to be the director of music at Good Shepherd Lutheran in Champaign, and so I have been able to entice a couple of their singers. Very strong tenor friend of mine is going to be joining us. A couple singers also from the Methodist Church that is just north of us. That's Grace. And then we have a couple other singers from your choir and from other choirs here in town. So if this was an easier time of the year, I bet we could get even more from other churches. And my vision is maybe next year we would do a concert early fall before the schedule gets very crowded where we could bring in more choirs from various churches.
What kind of music does your choir usually do?
Our choir does a nice combination. I have a Kodai background, and so always I start with the music that I pick for my choir with the thought that this needs to be music they can sing. I want them to enjoy it. But you have to also think they need to be challenged, too. So after we're finished with this piece, some of the more simple pieces, my choir may tell me, that's too easy now, which I'm so excited to see that they have really raised to the occasion on this. And as I mentioned before, it's not easy, but it is doable, and we're having a great time with it.
Well, you referred to counterpoint in Bach, by which you mean various voices having different things to do at the same time.
Exactly.
As each other.
And as we know with Bach, it's not just those voices together. It is oftentimes those voices in contrast to each other. So to have the amount of confidence and also wherewithal to sometimes be doing a little ornamentation that is not like your partner next to you in a different section. So really raising the confidence level of these singers has been a fun process. And our last rehearsal was when we really started to get that first chorale together. And you could just see the smiles and the excitement.
That's actually working now.
And we can do this. Yes, exactly.
And I'm sure that for many volunteer choirs, when you initially give them something that's challenging, there are some groans and, oh, we'll never be able to manage this, and this is just beyond us, and so on. And then,
exactly. And we're very fortunate. A good friend of mine and mentor, Julie Beiler, is helping with us to conduct the actual performance so that I can be with the altos and sopranos and perhaps tenors on occasion if they need a little prodding for an entrance or just a little support.
Well, and also you get to sing some solos.
Yes, we have some solo sections, but they are composed in this particular arrangement in duets, or they are in a solo section. So throughout this piece, we won't have any particular solo voices, but we will be joining together in two and four parts.
John, how did you decide how to do these various settings? How did you decide, okay, this verse is going to be full chorale, this one's going to be just a couple of people, or what?
Well, the settings that Bach himself had arranged for voices were simple to arrange because I basically left them in many ways similar to the original form. When I looked at the organ pieces, I had to guess at which parts are singable and for voices and which parts are playable only for instruments. And I thought, we ended up with some difficult string parts, but I thought, where can you find better string players than we have in Champaign-Urbana? So I didn't worry very much about that. For instance,
they're probably cursing you, by the way.
We'll find out soon enough.
Tomorrow evening.
For instance, in the fifth movement, which is based on an organ canon, there are two voices, a high voice and a low voice, that are running all up and down the scale, and these are assigned then to the cello and the viola. And then the hymn tune, the melody itself comes in long notes, and then the alto sings that, the alto section in this case, decided that the entire section would sing that tune with the instruments doing their flourishes and ruffles around it.
Ruffles and flourishes. I'm imagining bugles and drums now, but there's none of those.
No.
We have this, the organ original next, I think.
Right. That would be the one I just referred to.
Yeah.
You will hear two lines on the organ at the beginning going rather quickly, and then very soon you will hear in slow, long notes the tune coming in, hymn tune, and that will be sung by the altos.
Okay, it's music of Bach here, a chorale variation on Live and Local. And who's our organist in that performance?
Peter Herford playing this. This is from the complete works of Bach, organ works of Bach, that Herford recorded some years ago.
Liz, you've mentioned a couple of times the difficulty of the vocal lines, and John, you just mentioned the difficulty of probably the instrumental lines taken out of this organ original, but, you know, that didn't always seem to have stopped Bach in deciding to throw some of the difficult lines to the voices, because singers have, I think, complained probably ever since Bach was around that his vocal lines seem very instrumental and not all that singable.
Well, I think when you're rehearsing, it's important often to take the text away and to let the singers experience on a neutral syllable just the tempo, trying to get all of the notes in the right rhythms. And then you can put the text back, because I think you're 100% correct. These are often just instrumental in nature. So you have to think of them as phrases versus notes on a page. And so we're almost at that point where you can get the singers to start to use their imagination and to feel that these phrases can have little dance movements to them and also can have intrigue. They're not just a vocal line. So when you're doing Bach, it definitely is very challenging.
John, you bring your own background to this as an organist yourself, but also as a Lutheran pastor.
Right.
Have you had a particular fondness for Martin Luther's musical settings other than this tune in particular? Because he's got a number of them.
He has some wonderful hymns. Of course, most of us know A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is his most famous.
And there's some similarities to this.
Which, by the way, will be included in the very final piece. We are the organ piece, which Kevin Hildebrandt has arranged for us. And this will be the premiere of that, too. Keith Williams is going to do this performance. And I'm told that it includes both chorales, From Heaven Above and A Mighty Fortress. The thing that people may or may not have noticed about this is that the last line of each of those chorales is identical. So if you hear only the last line, it's the same in both chorales.
Well, I was just thinking that even the beginning of it has similar contours. Let's see, A mighty fortress is our God, from him all hoch da call me here. Did I get the call me here? Those are words?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How about that?
Yeah. I think this piece is going to be wonderful. We're going to end the concert with this newly commissioned piece that Keith is bringing to us. And he's the organist at St. John Lutheran in Urbana.
And Champaign.
In Champaign. Thank you. What is going to be very exciting for me as an organist is that we get to not only do this cantata, which is around a half hour in length, but we're opening the concert with two organ, very short prelude arrangements of the chorale tune, and then we're going to have our very own organist. He is going to do an Emmanuel von Feist arrangement, and then we get to have your wonderful organist, Kevin, from Emmanuel. That's going to be Michael Fisher, and he is going to be doing a David Johnson arrangement, and then we will end with the Hildebrand. So we felt that this concert not only would honor this wonderful piece that's newly composed, but we'll also have this new organ piece, and we'll have organists from all around town.
Yeah, that's fantastic. John, which came first, your call to enter the ministry or your love of music?
I was studying music since high school, before I had any dreams of going into the ministry. And so I basically had to give up my organ playing when I became a pastor, and didn't resuscitate that until after I retired.
Which has been how long now?
4.5 years.
I sort of lost track because you went off to Israel for a while.
Right. That's where I taught organ and piano when I was living in Palestine for 2 years.
I'm not sure I ever did hear why you went over there. And now we know.
I composed this piece, by the way, this cantata, while I was there.
While you were there.
It was sort of neat. I could see the city of Bethlehem lying outside my window as I was working on this piece. So it was a nice setting to be doing a Christmas cantata.
Well, that would be quite an inspiration, I imagine. So would you say then that your love of music inspired your decision to enter the ministry? Or did it
no.
Or did it inspire your at all your love of Bach? Did it inspire at all your choice to be a Lutheran pastor?
Well, no. I was a Lutheran as long as I can remember, so there was no choice involved there, I guess.
Your parents made that choice.
They did.
Yeah, one way or another.
But I always loved the music of the church, so I was pretty sure I'd like being a pastor. And when I found out that the music of the church includes Bach, then I knew I'd really like the like church music. So
they all did come together
in one
way or another, and they're coming out together too. It's a John Sederlund's setting of music by Bach and Martin Luther, text by Martin Luther, a cantata for Christmas called From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, Vom Himmel Hoch, the name of the tune. And a lot of organ settings, Elizabeth Buckley, one of the organists, Jeremy House, Michael Fisher, Keith Williams, and then the choir at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana, augmented by others with soloists Audrey Valance, Elizabeth Buckley, Michael Meadows, Chris Holman, and the organist and various other instrumentalists involved in that as well. It's Sunday afternoon at 3:00 at St. Matthew's on Philo Road in Urbana. And I wish you the best of luck with this undertaking. It sounds like should be a fantastic experience for the performers and the listeners.
Wonderful. Thanks, Kevin. And we're very excited to have great instrumentalists from here in town. And my hope is that we can do this again with other churches here in town next concert.
And we have a little bit here, John, from Bach's little organ book.
Yes. It's any beginning organist that studied Bach's little organ book probably will recognize this one. And again, the chorale tune itself has been given to the tenors to sing, and then the strings will accompany the rest of the parts surrounding the tune.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Kevin.